Well, thank you, Lord, for today. Man, it's good to be here. It's good to see everybody. I want to share God's word with you. More than anything, I pray that God's word will be revealed in your heart. That's my prayer. My hope, my desire, my only ambition is to uncover God's word for you to see and hold on to and then take it and hide it. And bury it in your heart. But I want to share some things. I'm so thankful for the salt mine and our ministry here, the ministry. That's all of us. I didn't ask Diane and Bob to share anything, but I just wanted everybody to note Diane and Bob's Merzel over there, to keep them in your prayers regularly. Pray for their boys. She's somebody that serves here on a regular basis. You get fresh hot coffee every Sunday morning because she commits to being here making that coffee, and it's a fantastic thing. And I appreciate you guys. Appreciate both you guys. I just want to say thank you guys for they're people that wouldn't even take note of it being done, but without it being done, it's not done. Yeah, we would know. Isn't that interesting how we would notice? We notice the things that don't get done when they don't get done until they. And Billy, would you come up here? Well, come on up here, please. Can I get you and Ralph just for a second? You don't have to be prepared. Can I get both of you up here? I was thinking of you two. You don't have to be prepared, even though I asked you to be prepared, but that's okay. We love you, dear. You've been Hawaii-ing. Yes. Ralph and Billy are such a blessing. How long have you been coming to church? Here, come back here so everybody can see you. You got your back to those folks over there. Yeah. There's good people over here, too. Yeah. How long have you guys been here?
Since 1994. Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
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 That's 26 years, right?
Yeah.
Is my math right? Close? Yeah. That's a long time. That's a good amount of time. That's as old as one of my sons.
Yeah. The salt mine is our family.
Yes.
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 I wanted to say something about Diane.
Okay,
wait a minute.
Okay. She's trying to get off the hook. That's okay.
When Diane, on such rare occasion, had to be gone, it took six of us to fill her shoes. Yeah. That is no, I'm not exaggerating.
No.
So, yes. Thank you, Diane.
And it was not even up to par what she brings on a regular basis. What I am going to go with this message in this morning is, you know, and she's a good example of somebody, and so are you guys to me, Ralph and Billy and Diane and Bob, that, you know, you don't just... Yeah, there's a phrase that I kind of cringe at here that I don't agree with. And if I've said it, I apologize and humbly repent. And if you say it, if you're in a place of receiving my loving correction, then I'll say it to you. But there's a phrase that you don't hear from them, and I appreciate that they don't say it, is, well, it's just a salt mine. It doesn't really matter. It does matter. It matters to them, and it matters to you guys what goes on here, what happens here, how well things go here, the things that get done here. And I appreciate what does get done here, especially because without you guys doing the things that need to get done here, they don't get done. And I appreciate both Ralph and Billy. Ralph is a servant of the Lord. They're both retired from their vocational service. And yet they have come to the conclusion that there is no retirement in the kingdom. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And
yeah.
That's a good conclusion to come to. Eventually, if you don't get that, then God will show you that he will correct you, that that's the truth of the matter, is there is no retirement in the kingdom's work. And what they do serving the Lord here is pretty amazing and fantastic. Billy's a regular volunteer is a part of our Thursday distribution, which is just amazing, because how many people that get helped with her smile and her prayers and her love and her consideration. And I've always deemed, because I've seen it, is Ralph and Billy having a gifting of hospitality, having a talent of hospitality. People who have opened up their homes to many people in this fellowship, people that have opened up their lives to serve people in this fellowship and to serve their family here at the Salt Mine. And so I just want to thank you guys. I know I won't ask you all the questions, and I won't ask you to share a lot unless you would like to just share something. I'm going to just open it up to that.
Okay. Well, I just had a conversation the other day with the Lord, and I said, mm-hmm. You know, Lord, I'm getting tired. And he said, I'll tell you when it's time to quit. So I'm not done until the Lord tells me I'm done. Amen. And that's sort of our motto, because we both struggle with just stuff. Mm. But anyway, no, we're very blessed. We're very grateful to be here, seeing lives touched. Mm. Through the food ministry especially, it speaks volumes. Mm. Without a word.
Amen.
It speaks volumes without a word. And,
amen.
And
amen.
So we're grateful. We're grateful. We're grateful.
Well, we are grateful for you. Yeah. If Ralph wanted to say something, he would let me know. He's a man of few words, but when he says them, they're good. Yes. Just some beautiful people, and I consider everybody that's part of this place as beautiful people, but I'm so delighted that God has placed some really beautiful people here. I'm glad that he's placed you here, each and every one of you, all of us, and it's my belief that there are more of this fold that, how do I say it without just saying it straight up? It's up to all of us to bring them in. We're all a part of the work. It's all of our duty. And I love how you said it, Billy. It's like, I'm tired. Yes, I'm tired. And you know what he tells me every time I say I'm tired? It's in Scripture, and you guys heard me say it just a few weeks ago. What is it? Go get dressed with some other clothes, put on another hat, and keep serving me. And when you're done with that, then, when I say you can go take care of yourself, that's when you can. That scripture has been like just beating me up left and right. And it's a good place. I am somebody that I guess I've always had a thing for scriptures that do the nitty gritty, like grinding of stuff that's on me and in me. I kind of like those Bible verses more than anything. I like the scriptures that get into the grime of my soul and cleanse it. Anybody got grime in your soul? Just me? It's okay. So my prayer is that, you know, that I'm here up to just simply share God's word, because I believe God's word is where the action takes place. It's where the transformation is at place. And when we, you know, Psalm 119:11, it says, I have hidden your word, this is David speaking, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So I'm going to talk about this and talk about us hiding God's word. And because it's determined, where our life goes determines where we hide God's word. The direction of our life is directly connected to where we hide God's word. Whether it's towards God or even away from God, whether it's towards peace or towards unrest, whether it's towards blessing or whether it's towards curses, whether it's towards life or whether it's towards death. I believe, and I propose, because I'm going to open up a couple of scriptures this morning, that we have two directions to go with God's word. You can either conceal it or reveal it. In other words, you could hide it in your heart, or you can keep it from getting in your heart. You can hide it away from your heart. Follow with me, please, this morning. And I'm going to try to get through it as quick as possible, because there's a lot of really good stuff that I want to share. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to start there in the New Living Translation. 2 Peter chapter 3. I will say this, as you pull this up, thank you, Michael, for pulling this up, but just leave it there for a second. Where's Hunter and Carson at? Are they in the room? What up, dude? Hunter's helping? Okay, good. Good. I like to pick on Hunter when he's not in the room. It's fun. But what we've been doing with me and the boys is I pick up two of my nephews on the way to school, and so I said, okay, guys, here's the deal. If you guys want to ride to school, said you got to listen to the Bible with me every morning. So we're listening to the book of Proverbs, and it's a lot of fun. So there's some scriptures that have come out I'm listening to the New Living Translation. We are together, so we're having a good time with it. And so I asked them to share one thing that they heard, and a couple of times Carson would just say the very last verse that was spoken, because that was like, okay, I remember that. But I said, no, you got to share with me something that actually speaks to your heart. Like, what is he saying to you? So now they're getting into the depth of like, oh, God's word speaks to my heart. And it does something inside me, and it's funny how they pick up on some of the verses that are have to do with lazy bones. They seem to like that one. Has to do with the Proverbs. If you haven't opened it up in a while, like the first probably 10 chapters are all about the seductress woman that goes after the man, and it's like, oh boy, I had to do a lot of explaining as we're listening to this afterwards, but it's good stuff, so we're talking about it a lot. But this verse in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, I didn't give it to Mike to pull it up, but just don't worry, Mike, just hold on a second, because I like how he says this in the New Living Translation. In fact, let me do something. I'm gonna show you something, just in case you didn't realize this. You know that God's word is intended to transform our lives. Now, if we take God's word and we read it, and we read it in a way that, and we maybe sometimes we don't understand it fully, correct? In fact, I would say a lot of times we don't really understand it. We may not understand what it's saying. And sometimes the wording of it is just a little bit confusing, because here's the dilemma. This is a dilemma for all of us in this room. It may not be a major dilemma, but for some of us it is. It was written in a time and an era and in a language that you westernized Americans, us, and I'm including myself, and don't really, my processor doesn't work like that. My processor, my brain, it's kind of like Apple and IBM. You know, sometimes there's this, it's challenging to get them to be compatible. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? So sometimes when the wording is such that you may not understand it, I want to give you just a little trick. It's a simple one, super simple. Get on your smart device the Bible app. And in the Bible app, you can switch translations at the click of a finger. Up to, like, I think it's up to 60 translations or something. So you could find out, maybe it's saying something a little bit different that I can help me understand. That's okay to do. You guys following with me? Okay, here's an example. Listen to this. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. You didn't pop it up. Thanks, Mike. It says, no, I actually asked him not to, and he actually obeyed me. I appreciate that. I really do. Or else I would have to, yeah, yeah. Oh, did he pop it up? Yeah. You dirty rat back there. That's okay. He's just trying to help. He really is just trying to help. Which I got to tell you, I got a lot of side notes going on this morning in my head. Keep up, guys. I'll try it myself. Mike has just gotten himself into an apartment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Getting ready to get married to his lovely bride-to-be, Katie. Where'd she go? Oh, okay. So we're excited about that as a fellowship to join in with them as they, and it's been an exciting time for him, and we're just blessed. blessed to be a part of his life. Amen. 20:27 says this, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart." You first read that. That's kind of like, what? Did something translate there as to what he's actually saying? It was a little bit challenging to translate what he's actually saying. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to pop over to the New Living Translation to help me understand what he's actually saying there. And this is what he's actually saying. It says, the Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Now that's good news, because what that is telling me, this is why I like the stuff that gets into me, because it actually does it makes a difference in me. It exposes even my motives. And I know that's challenging, but I need my motives to be highlighted and exposed and shown to me that maybe I'm off a little bit. If I really want to go right, I need to know where I'm going wrong. I know that seems super deep, but it's really not. It's very simple. So, and that's what God's word does. The light of his word, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, penetrates my human spirit, exposing even my motives, my thoughts. So 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 through 10, is, I'm going to get to this, and this is I'm going to go to the New Living Translation, so track with me on this too, if you will. It just happened to be that this is the one I was going through and studying, and it's like, okay, popped it up, and it was the one that worked best. It says 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3 all the way through verse 10. Says, most importantly, this is Peter writing to us, the church. Says, I want to remind you, and this is a great chapter, that in the last days, so he's speaking to us, this is what it's going to look like. Scoffers will come. They will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. And they will say, what happened to this promise that Jesus is coming again? And from before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. But here's what I wanted us to note. It says, they deliberately forget. Did you hear that? They deliberately forget. Other translations will use the word overlook. They deliberately overlook. When you look up the word forget and overlook, and when I looked up in all the different translations, they came back to the same Greek word, which I can't pronounce it, but the Greek word simply means to conceal, to hide away from. So there's a deliberately hiding away from God's word. That's what's happening here. They deliberately forget that God made, listen what he says, because here's how he says it, that God made the heavens long ago by what? By what? The word. Did it say it up there? Am I in the right translation? Okay. By the word. By God's word, he spoke all into existence. That's awesome. I mean, think about it. Your breath that you just took 3 seconds ago was spoken into existence by what? God's word. God's word. This thing that I knock on comes from God's word. All of this ground that I stand on is from God's word. That's hallelujah. That's awesome. You can deliberately forget that. You can choose to deliberately conceal it, overlook it, and forget it. It's dangerous. Don't do it. Because here's what happens. Because it says that they forget that from long ago that God's word, they deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. Robin and I were talking about this concept. Don't let me forget where I left off. We were talking about this concept of the God being immutable, God being unchangeable, God being what's the word that we used? He is unaffected, unimpacted. He does not. She used the word. He's not reactive. He is not reactive to what is going on in our world. Did you know that? God acts. He doesn't react. And I like that, because what kind of place does that put me in and you in? Absolute confidence that God is God. God is sovereign. God hasn't lost his mind. He hasn't lost control. He hasn't lost charge. He isn't trying to figure it out on the fly. It is God's will what is happening. And he's not slow about bringing it all into order, as we might think. When are you going to finally fix all this, God? When are you going to finally make this right? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Don't you realize, and this is what he says in this, and I love it because it's a lead into what Joey is doing in the schools, what God is doing in us. Where's Stephen at? Is he back there too? Oh gosh, you just like blended right into the wall with the kids, dude. Man, that scared me for a second. Because he says this, he's not slow as some people think. No, but he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Do you see what he's saying here? Your discomfort, your displeasures, your issues that you have about governments and schools and societies and the social media and the, you know, idiots on the road, whatever it is you have your issue with, is all about God saying, I'm being patient. Because I'm wanting everyone to come to repentance. That's my desire. Could it be that he's waiting on us? Could it be that he's waiting on us to share the love of God, to share Jesus with every last soul? That's why I love what the National School Project is doing, is a million lives reached. They're looking to reach 1 million students. And I know that seems like, well, that's not very much, but it really is a lot, because when you really calculate how many students are in the United States of America, and this is their focus, is the U.S. of A., That almost, I think, covers, is it almost about half the students that exist? I could be wrong in that number, because when I looked at it one time, it was like, wow, that seems like not a lot, but it is a lot. And it seems like, wow, well, that's impressive. Let's go after it. And let's just start, as, because if we go for 1 million, I guarantee that the million reached will reach the next 10 million. That's just how it works. And I love that, because this is what it's about. Okay, yeah, where did I leave off? He does not want anyone to be sorry, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Does that scare you a little bit?
Yes.
Why is it a little scary? Just curious. I mean, maybe it's a whole nother conversation that we can have, but that doesn't scare me one least in a bit. I don't know why it does not bother me, doesn't scare me, doesn't concern me. It actually excites me a little bit. Maybe because I know a little bit about God. I know God, and I know God's love, and I know how God works. And I know what fire does. You know what fire does, right? I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I shared this. Fire is scary. When I was 5 years old, I think I was no older than five, living up in South Lake Tahoe, there was a blackout. The power went out in our house, and my mom decided to light candles everywhere in the house and put candles all over the place, including my bedroom. And my bedroom was a place where my sister and I slept, and all of a sudden I woke up. I didn't know I woke up in the middle. Now I realize I wake up every night because I have to go, you know, relieve myself, because that's where I'm at in age, or my bladder's just a teeny tiny little thing. Doesn't last all night. Irritates the heck out of Robin. So why do you wake me up every morning? He's like, I don't try to, but must have always been that way then, I guess, because I woke up and at the doorway of our bedroom was a blazing fire. Completely over, like, wow, like, I don't think that's supposed to be there. And so I run out to my mom's room, and at that time it was a boyfriend. I didn't have dads then. I had live-in boyfriends. And woke her up. She said, go get your sisters. Go get your sister. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that would have been a good idea to do before I went and got my mom, because she was in the bedroom. But we got out of the house, and we stood there outside in the snow watching our house burn down to the ground. And it scared me. I still can remember, when I smell smoke of a house fire, it brings that back, that very emotion of fear and like, wow, I almost died there. God saved me and our family. Fire's destructive. But do you know what fire also does as it destroys? It purifies. It purifies. And isn't that all that God is about? Making things right. We've made a mess. And guess what? We're still making a mess. And what maybe it's, you know, we in this generation may be looking at it like and blaming the previous generation and blaming everybody. You know what? We're just as guilty. We're all doing it. We're all making a mess of our lives and of this world. God is going to use fire to purify it. I'm looking forward to that. I really am. I really am looking forward to it. That's what he says in his word. So I'm going to talk about this, what he's referring to is as far as God's word. Because here's what I want us to get the focus back on for a second is I believe it's a challenge, it's a command, it's an order for God that he gives to us to remember God's word. Remember what he speaks. Remember who he is and what he does. So keeping God at the forefront of our mind is crucial to our direction in life. We can deliberately forget. We can deliberately remember. I believe we can. I believe we can. In Joshua 1:8, he says this. This is God speaking to Joshua as he's taking over for Moses, basically. He says in Joshua 1:8, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Let me just ask you a quick question. What do you think? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when the word meditate comes up? Or meditation? What's that? Witchcraft? Okay, all right. What? I didn't hear you, I'm sorry. Peace of mind. Okay. Boy, that's interesting. All kinds. We've got all spectrums here, don't we? Yes, but relaxation. That's what probably most people come to. The first thing that comes to their mind is to, you get the picture of what? Little fat Buddha sitting there. Yeah, there you go. Donna's got it like this. And for some reason, we get that picture of what meditation is, and then that becomes like a little bit like, okay, what does that even mean? How do I, because that's so contradictory to what he's actually saying here, isn't it? When we think of what the word meditate actually means, in fact, the word meditate actually means something that you probably have not understood or heard it this way. Yes? Okay, to clear it. That's what a lot of people think, is to clear it. But I'm going to clarify and bring to light what actually it means. David, go ahead. I bet you got it close to right. Put you on the spot. Cooperating? Mine doesn't either. Lots either. Yeah. Actually, it says stuff that it's not supposed to.
Focusing.
What's at hand? What's in front of you? Okay. Amen. Amen. So yeah, you were going to say something, sweetie? To what? Connect with God. I like that. Boy, she's like moron than kids. Gotta love them. Let's keep them around, right? Amen. Here's where I think is, if we get this, I want to get this right, because here he says, study the book, study, so there's work involved, there's an action, study the book instruction continually, and meditate on it day and night, so that you'll be able to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. Here's what it actually is. Meditation is this. I know you might not at first it's going to shock you a little bit, but it means simply to do this. Is to growl at it. To growl at it. Okay, let me explain. Have you ever set a dog food for one dog and you have two dogs in the house and another dog wanders over to that other dog's food? What's the one dog going to do over his food? He's going to growl at his food, right? That's the picture that he's painting for us in meditating on God's word. Is to where we almost like we get into it and we, this is mine. This is for me. This is what I need for the nourishment of my soul and my spirit. And almost to where, because when that dog is growling, what is it doing? It's not growling at the food. What's he doing? David said it. He hit it on the head. He's causing anything that would want to come in and distract and pull it away to get away. To say, get out. This is my food. And that's what he's talking about when he says to meditate on God's word. Like, this is my food. That's what Jesus said. We don't when he was tempted in the wilderness and he told Satan to get out of here. He said, man doesn't live on just bread and water. He lives on the very word of God. That is our real food. That's what he's referring to, is meditate on this as my nourishment that I need. In other words, I dig into it, I go after it, and I just consume it as though my very life source needs it. Hello? Yeah. Amen. Exactly. What's relaxing about that? I'm sorry for the whole relaxing part of meditation, if I messed that up for you. But that's not what he's referring to. And that's probably when you go into that, it gets closer into the witchcraft area where you are emptying yourself. That's not meditation on God's word. To meditate on God's word is to fill yourself and fill it with a passion that it is, my life depends on it. Kind of like a dog over its food. Picture it next time you read the Bible. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I want to say, to clear your mind, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
amen. That's good. And that so you were on the same page, maybe just coming at it from a different angle. Yes, Linda. Amen. Amen. I believe it. Yeah, God's. So when we get into God's word, it really is this. It's an aggressive intention to learn it, to know it, and to apply it, right? Now, let me take it a little bit deeper, and then I'm going to even go even deeper. Guys, okay with that?
Yeah.
I know we're in this, so we're treading around in this, but we're going to get to some deep stuff here. And I might offend some, and I intend to, so you can forgive me, or... But here's this. Let me say some stuff that you might not like to hear. A complacent Christian, also described in the Bible as lukewarm, is the result of a complacent approach to his word. Which in turn only produces the obvious, half-hearted, milquetoast commitments to God, below average at best. Have you ever heard somebody say, referring to, of course, somebody else, you know, well, at least they're going to church. At least they're showing up. I've always wondered why that rubbed me so wrong. Because to me, it's the identity of a lukewarm believer, where they do at least. Lukewarm will always give just enough to appease the conscience, but never at the place of transforming your life. And it's extremely deceptive. Because you see, sacrifice, when we actually sacrifice and say, get away stuff of this world, give me God. When we make that sacrifice, it is actually intended to position us for personal transformation. Do you hear that? So that sacrifice is intended to position me for personal transformation. Get in there and do some stirring and scraping of the bone marrow that hurts so bad. And I fight against it. I don't know about you guys, but I fight against it. I rebel against this stuff. And my pride will buck up and I'll say, why? I'm really not that bad. And I got to go deeper. Again, back to Proverbs, because we've been opening it up. Proverbs 18:9 says this. So listen to this. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. It says, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. You want to go deep?
Yeah.
Okay. I asked. One said yes, and I'll go with that. There's three types of people here that are described. Three types of people that proverb exposes. One is the builder. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. The builder. Somebody who's building the kingdom of God. Somebody who's actively, aggressively, intentionally at work doing good for the kingdom of God and the community, their family, their workplace, where they live. actually having intention to make God known, to bring glory to God, make a change, make a difference, not only in their life, but in the life of those around them. The builder. There's the builder. Hello? He's not even spoken of here, but it's heavily implied. There's the builder. And then there's the destroyer. The one who is tearing down, cutting up, chopping things to bit, wrecking everything by their words, with their actions, their intentions. They're against the building, against the progress, against the productive work that people are doing, that you are doing in the kingdom of God, in the community in which you live. Hello? He actually refers to them, the destroyer. But then there's this other person that we sometimes seem to just overlook really uncautiously, I guess I should say, or uncarefully, is the lazy, the slack in his work, the non-contributor. Do you hear what he's saying, though, in that proverb? Let me reread it again. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. The two that are related are the destroyer and the lazy. The two that have most in common are those that are destroying and those that do nothing. Yikes. That went deep, didn't it? I went, oh. Robin left the room for a second. Good, I could share some stuff about me. I'm just teasing, guys. Come on. When I am tempted to be lazy bones, I lie to myself by saying, I'm doing enough as it is. Did you ever notice that? Did you notice that about yourself? I noticed it about me. Whenever I'm tempted to be a non-contributor, I'll convince myself, deceive myself, lie to myself, and saying, well, I'm doing enough as it is. What does everybody want from me? The temptation is real. Because when I'm in my spirit and when I'm in the work that God wants me to do, there's something that drives me to where I always feel like I'm just never doing enough. It's when I feel like I'm just doing just fine and doing enough that's where I am tempted to be lazy bones. The reason lazy bones, because it's in Proverbs, he talks about lazy bones. So I refer to that as lazy bones. Because it's into my infrastructure. So let's get back to the most important issue here. Where do you hide God's word? Where do you hide God's word? In your heart. Is it in your heart or from your heart? Just a simple question. So I want us to just really uncover this and dig this out for a second, because I believe that if we do this, we could find out where we're hiding God's word. On your heart? I've never heard that one, but I'll go. We could go. I would rather it go in my heart as opposed to away from my heart. Because here's where God is always. Here, let me go back to. It depends on where we're hiding God's word, whether it's in our heart or from our heart. I believe that we can deliberately forget or we can deliberately conceal. We could deliberately forget or conceal, or we can also deliberately remember or reveal. In fact, God tells us all the time, and he gives us little tips and little helps to help us remember. You go through the Old Testament, remember, he's always telling his people to do what? To build altars, to make monuments. Why did he have them do that? So, for remembrance, it's a continuous theme of the Bible. Remember, remember, remember. It's something that he is constantly encouraging us, ordering us to do, is to remember him. Remember his works. Remember what he did in the past so that we can go forward, because we know he's going to do it again. Remember who God is. Remember what he says. Let's aggressively, intentionally learn it, remember it, and hide it in our hearts. Right? it was neat. Robin was sharing with me something that she was just had discovered, and I liked it because I'd never seen it this way when she was doing a study, and it had to do with remembering, encouraging God's people to remember. And there's something that when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, you know, the Our Father who art in heaven, what she was sharing with me was that it's neat to see that what he's actually doing there is encouraging us to pray, really, a pray of remembrance, a pray to where we remember who God is, remember that God is in everything. God is our loving Father. God is supreme. God is ultimate. He is our provider. God is the one. We must remember that it's God that gives us forgiveness, and we must remember that us going to ask for forgiveness for others is God doing it in us. All of the Lord's Prayer is about us remembering who God is. From the beginning to the end. And I'm like, wow, that was really good. In this Saturday morning when we were praying the men's prayers, like it came to life to me more than ever before. Because I was like, that's what it's all about. Just remembering him in it. I'm amused with people in general. I'm amused with people who think they have some gift by saying this phrase. Oh, I'm good with faces, but not names. Why does that tickle me? Why does that amuse me? I think it's just a funny cop-out. Like, isn't it not? Am I not really saying, I really don't care enough about you to remember your name? Oh, okay. Oh, so I rubbed some wrong. I rubbed some people wrong. I like it. That's what I intended to do. Do you realize that babies can remember faces and don't even have the ability to speak? So you're, what, at a level above a baby? Alzheimer's patients can remember names or faces but not names. So where does that put you? I just am amused by people that say that, and I've and if I offend you, I intended to, so I do apologize, though. Because here's what it comes down to. I think it comes down to we can actually do something about it. I believe it. I believe we could do stuff about what we think, what we remember. I think that, too. Because I could cop out. I could use a cop. I'm horrible at remembering names. I'll be talking to somebody and they'll tell me their name, and literally a second and a half later, I can't remember their name. Shame on me. That's horrible. What am I saying? I'm not listening. I'm being honest with me. But here's what I'm asking us to do, is be honest with ourselves about God's word penetrating our heart. He tells us if we read God's word in James, and we look at it, and then we go away, and we do nothing with it, nothing about it, whereas the one who looks at his face in a mirror and forgets what he looks like, and has no recollection of even what he looks like. That's what you're like when you can hear God's word, read God's word, and do nothing with it. Be lazy bones about it. Be a non-contributor. You're a brother to the destroyer when you do that. When I do that. No, what I want to get to, because here's what... So, if that's true, that we can intentionally forget, because the Bible says we can intentionally remember. Do I care enough about what God does in me, what God is wanting to do in me, to take it and dig it in and let it dig in and make a difference in me? And yes, we could apply it to remembering names. I don't think that's the issue at all. I just think it's cute for people when they say that, because it's with me too. I'm referring to myself. There's a neat little acronym to help us remember that we could apply scripturally to our lives. It goes like this: name, notice, pay attention to people's concerns, actually be concerned. So yes, pay attention. You can notice. Simply pay attention to the person. Actually be concerned about. Because here's the bottom line, and this is I'm convicted of this on a regular basis. Don't just go through the motions of being polite. I encourage us to be polite. I don't think we should be rude. I don't think it helps anything. But don't just go through the motions. Actually be concerned. And what that does is it's going to produce something inside of me. And I'm talking about even if you can double apply this to helping you remember stuff, but also to helping you allow God's word to be hidden in your heart, because that's where it really matters. The next one is ask. A, ask. Find out more about the person or maybe the subject matter in which you are reading about or hearing about. Find out more. Ask. Actually, ask a question. It'd be really simple to ask a question if somebody tells you, like I meet literally probably about 20 to 25 people a day that I haven't met before. And when I engage in these conversations, and they seem to know a whole lot about me, but I don't know anything about them. So it's on me to find out something about them, to actually be concerned and to ask. Wouldn't it be something neat? And then we get into deeper thing when we're talking about, because then here's something that the next one is M, is to mention, to speak it aloud. I know that there are different learning tendencies in all of us. I learn by hearing. I can hear God's word, and it just penetrates my spirit. It goes deep into my brain and my spirit, and they kind of all start connecting. It works. I can read God's word, and it does some effective work, but when I hear it, it does even more work inside of me. That's because that's how I learn. So sometimes, you know, Robin, she has to write notes. She has to write it down. She has to listen, write it down, take notes, and all these things. So we all learn differently. I get that. So learn how you learn and apply that to actually learning. Be intentional about it. Hello? Hello? Okay. If it's something we want to learn, we're intentional about it, right? Hello? I mean... Cameron, my son, he's now a licensed mortgage loan originator, and he had to take the extensive testing that needed to take place for him to get this license. Well, for 6 months, I mean, it took him the third time to finally pass it, because the first two times he failed because it was just a lot of information. A lot of information, right, Mitzi, that you don't even need to know, but you need to know to pass the test. So he had to just buckle down, and he had to remember how he learned well and how he retained information, because he's really, really bad at it. He's horrible at it. Of all of our kids, he's the worst at retaining information. He cannot remember hardly anything that we just spoke about, that I read to him, or that he read. He's not very good at it. Blake is not fair to be around, because that kid can read something one time and remember it 10 years down the road exactly how he read it. And I'm like, that really sucks. I love that about him, but I hate that I can't do it. It's like, oh, I wish I could. So he had to get intentional about learning. Here's what I love about what he was doing, though, is it really spoke to me. Is like, you know, when we really go after and want something, we will put the effort in to go get it, to make it happen. Why do we take God's word and just crack it open on a Sunday? Or like even with the boys, we're talking about it, my prayer for them, honestly, is that what is going to happen is that they'll fall in love with God's word and want it so much that they'll want it on their free time. that they'll want to dig into it when I'm not forcing it down there into their ears. And they'll have a desire and a passion to know it, to learn it. That's my prayer for those boys. It's my prayer for my boys. It's been my prayer for all of it's my prayer for all of us, is that we would fall in love with God's word. Because that's where the transformation takes place. That's where any change takes place, is what God's word does in me and through me. Amen? And the last one I think is pretty neat, because as we talk about this, is E, is to envision. And I think this is the spiritual intention that we must take, is we need to pray and ask the Lord to give you his insight. What if you did this, and let's just apply this to remembering somebody's name. And I guarantee I'm working on it myself, is that as I'm speaking with somebody, as I'm meeting them for the first time, I find out a little bit about them. I find out what's going on in their lives. And now I stop and say, hey, can I pray for you and call them by name? Can I pray for you right now? I guarantee that there's something that's going to happen in your spirit, in your mind, that will take place, that will make a difference, not just in you, but in that person's life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And so when we take God's word with this same applicable effect of saying, God, help me to remember, help me to see this, help me to see what you're saying, and how can I apply it to my life right here, right now? And then even take it deeper. How can I share it with somebody else? Amen? Because I'm confident that no one here sets out to be lukewarm. Did you wake up today and say, man, I just want to be lukewarm today. I want to be a lukewarm Christian. I want to wake up today and I just want to have no impact on anybody in society. I don't want to do anything. I don't think anybody in this room has woken up that way. You're here. You want to make a difference, not just in your life, but in this community's life. But here's the rub. The default for not intentionally going hard after God is lukewarm. So I'm going to read Revelation chapter. I'm just going to do it. It's not in my notes. Let's go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3. I believe it's starting in 14. The letter to the church of Laodicea. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know your works. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are lukewarm water, I'm in the New Living Translation, since you are lukewarm or like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Here's how we come to this. This is why I like how this is one of the places that Jesus in this loving discipline correction, as he's giving this to the church, he's saying, here's what it looks like. Here's how you can identify it. It says, for you say that I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. But you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent, Be diligent and turn from your indifference. Other translations will say, be zealous, go hard after, be intentional, be aggressive, and turn away from your lazy bones. Your lazy bones approach to my word. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Did you hear that? Those who were courageous, victorious, they were standing and they were not relenting. They went after. Those who go after me, get me. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Amen. Let's pray and worship the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Oh, we thank you that you are so delighted in who we are as your children. And your loving discipline takes me and transforms me, makes me different, doesn't allow me to settle with something that I'm not supposed to be, but continues to do some awesome work inside of each and every one of us. We are so thankful, Father God, that your love for us never leaves us where you left us, but constantly moves us to deeper walk with you, to deeper places and convictions and commitments. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the young people that you are doing this work, that you are filling them with a passion for your word, a passion to make a difference, to be meant for more. In Jesus' name, pour out your Spirit on us. Pour out your Spirit in us, that we may bring glory to you, that we may make you known to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mm.